How would you like to maximize property value and investment returns? Kevin Stoffman will tell us how. And what's so special about Kevin is he's an investment banker and management consultant turned software executive and real estate investor, Ironman triathlete, and dad to three amazing daughters. And he's the global head of alliances and corporate development. And Kevin, tell us about how can entrepreneurs maximize property value and investment returns leveraging AI?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
Oh man, that's a long answer, and it depends. But good news, we're on a podcast, so we can talk about it. There are some general ideas about owning a portfolio of real assets. And I say real assets, not just real estate, because so much of the world of infrastructure is now combining with owning buildings. So it's not just if you own an apartment complex or you invest in a single family home or you invest in an industrial warehouse. It's now all of the infrastructure that goes along with it. EV charging station, toll roads, transit, right? All of this is now converging into one asset class we call real assets. And when you're thinking about how to use AI, you should always be thinking about the deal cycle. How do I find the best deals that fit into my personal buy box as an investor or an investment entity? How do I quickly get to a yes or no that it's worth my time to do deeper due diligence? I think a lot of people get excited about deals and they spend a lot of time and money before getting to a no. And AI helps you get to no quicker, which seems counterintuitive, but it's extremely important. And then once you've determined that it's good for whatever your mandate is, once you do either buy the asset yourself or participate in a group that buys the asset, AI helps you to quickly communicate with other investors, with tenants, with property managers. AI also helps you rank of importance items that you need to address when you own an asset, like ranking the most important work orders or the most important partners to engage with or interfacing with vendors, paying invoices. A lot of this stuff's really boring, but boring is what makes you earn better returns when you own an asset.
Thank you. Tell us about the biggest problems that asset managers, investment managers suffer from that perhaps this AI can help them to counteract.
Well, there's so many, but the reason there's so many is because any investor that started right after the great financial crisis, so back when Lehman and Bear Stearns and long-term capital management, when they all crashed, real estate values crashed with them. And so if you invested starting after that, 2010 and later, you've likely been doing quite well, unless you were caught holding expensive floating rate bonds and multifamily during COVID. Or you bought an aging office building in 2019. Other than those two things, if you bought real estate assets, you're doing pretty well and you had outsized returns. And sometimes that track record, while great, can make you think that the way you're always doing it is the best way to do it. To all of those people, I encourage you to rethink every single business process you have, starting with AI first, right? There are certain things AI will not replace. Right. A lot of people come in and they say, let's get rid of the doorman in a building because the doorman costs X. And if we automate most of his tasks for Y, we now make Z in margin. And I've got news for you. I'm a Dallas, Texas guy. We don't doorman are not very common. But in New York City, where my company Cherry is headquartered, the doorman is a very common role inside of especially apartment buildings. Well, he or she are not just there to greet guests. They handle luggage. They serve almost as executive assistants with calendar management sometimes. They do part-time security. They provide a level of hospitality that an AI bot cannot do. So there's certain things that humans will always be the best for, and it translates into typically higher rents and higher occupancy. All of that being said, as a preamble, I think that AI is best used for most investment managers first around diligence, just being able to do a lot more research in a quicker fashion, right? Preparing for an investment committee meeting, evaluating multiple potential deals, right? The early stage of the life cycle, AI helps a ton because people used to hire a team of analysts to do that. Now you can do it with just a handful of analysts that you invest a lot of time and money into to make them grow because they're leveraging AI first. That's where I would start. If you're not on the acquisition side of the business, say if you're more of a property manager or you're a do-it-yourself kind of person, AI is great for estimating costs, both for labor and for parts. AI is great at serving as your one-person call center with tenants in your buildings. So being able to handle initial communication and then determine what's the most high-risk items where a human needs to step in. That's where AI is so valuable, is basically at screening everything from deals to work orders and capital requests.
Thank you. Is this a Cherry AI tool? Is it mainly for people who are dealing with large property portfolios, or is it also for smaller time property investors?
Yeah, so the company where I am an executive, Cherry, we're headquartered in New York. We're a real estate data warehouse. So we connect and integrate all of the information a real estate company would use to make decisions, whether that's looking for a deal or managing a deal after you bought it. And we are, up until very recently, designed for large enterprises. Now, as you can imagine, I've been in real estate for 21 years now. I've started building a small portfolio on my own, and a lot of the same lessons apply, right? Bringing all of the information I would use to make a decision around one of my buildings, having it all in one place is helpful for a lot of reasons. One, it saves me time, right? I have all the information necessary to make a decision. Number two, it lowers the risk. If I'm missing information, I might make bad choices. Also, this gets exponentially riskier when you put AI on top, right? If you don't have all of your information in one place, when AI looks at the information, if it's missing data, it might give you bad recommendations. And if you try to automate action, it might try to automate a bad action, right? So although Cherry is most of our clients are pension funds, publicly traded REITs, the real estate arm of banks or insurance companies, a lot of these same lessons would apply to someone who's just getting started buying their first property.
Thank you. Tell us about a case study of, let's say, a property investor, and let's say a deal that a property investor has done leveraging your platform, and take us through the kind of steps that they have gone through and how the Cherry AI has optimized their thinking and their decision making.
Sure. The first thing to do is to understand if it's your own money, it's probably going to be very different versus getting money from limited partners, other institutions, or friends and family that give you money. When you first go out to get money from other people to buy buildings, you have probably provided some sort of vision to them on the types of buildings you're going to buy. You might have a focus on a particular property type or a specific level of risk you're willing to undertake. So if you're looking for stable buildings that are already occupied with large tenants that have easy to access credit, you're going to expect a lower rate of return than a building that you might buy and add value to. Maybe it's an older building and you're going to do some remodeling. Maybe you're going to repurpose the building. If it's a tower, you're going to put retail on the bottom floor. The more changes you have to make to a building, the riskier that investment is, but the higher returns that should be expected. So that's the first thing. Once you have that vision for the returns you'd like to achieve, then it's all about pulling in the right data to make that decision and choose which property you'd want to choose. So most of our clients, when they're doing this, they want a specific set of market information to compare to their own internal data. Most of our clients already have an existing portfolio. They're looking at what their tenant mix is, what the rent rates are, what the lease lengths are, what renewals look like, what the cost is to operate each building. Once they get to that net operating income, then they know the value of their building. So once they've done that, all right, now I need to go out to the market and understand what are all the comparables that might be similar to my current buildings or what might be very different from my current buildings. So first is sales comps. What are other buildings that look like the buildings I'm trying to buy selling for? And how do I forecast what they might sell for later? Because then I'm building into a potential sales event later. Secondly is leasing comparables. If I bought a building today and vacant space opened up, what do I think I could rent that space for? And is that more than what current tenants are paying? And is that more than what I'm underwriting? That's at the micro level. That's for your specific building. But sometimes you might just be looking at what markets to go into. So you might want to understand where all of the people are moving. So demographic shifts from market to market. Are a lot of people moving from one city and going to another city? Is that movement younger people who are early in their career? Is it older people who are stopping to work and have a significant amount of income and they're retiring? Is it a mix? Is it young families that are going to need access to childcare? So that demographic data is very important. And then lastly, you always want to understand the permitting process. What permits are being applied for? What zoning changes are being requested? Because if you buy a building and a lot of people are applying to permits to build similar buildings in the area, you'll now have a lot of competition in supply, which might be put pressure on your competitive rents. So, comparables, demographics, foot traffic, and permits are usually the most common data elements that a client of ours would purchase and compare to their own data before they buy.
Thank you. Tell us about how, let's say, property investor who has a large project might use your Cherry AI to, let's say they know all of this data that comes from Cherry AI. How will that influence their decision making, versus the information they tend to already have?
Yeah, so it's always good to be able to compare what you have as an investor or owner yourself to the wider market for a couple reasons. One, it will show you what opportunity you have to potentially raise rents or find new amenities. It will also show you the risk of current tenant mix or is what is in the building actually what's attracting tenants and visitors, right? If it's a retail strip center, do you have the right brands in there? Do you have the right amount of parking? Do you have the right access? If it's an industrial warehouse, do you have one big long-term tenant who's just paying for the whole space? Are you having to chop it up and be a logistics center of itself? Do you have the proper truck heights and ceiling heights and truck bays and charging infrastructure, right? All these little things that the market will tell you they're seeing in other buildings versus the buildings that you have. That power to compare to the market will make you a smarter investor. It also helps when you go out to raise money. You can say, here's what how the market is performing. Here's how I'm performing. And if you're performing better, you get to advertise that track record and raise more capital. And if you go and look at the market data and you're underperforming, it's an opportunity to look internally into your own operations or to your own tenant mix of the building and improve those operations before you try to market them to a potential buyer or go to market to raise capital.
Thank you. Do you have any case studies of companies you can mention where they have leveraged Cherry AI in a way that they realized their blind spot? So they realized, oh, actually, I didn't think of this, or based on this information, I'm going to take a completely different decision. If so, can you share anything about what they decided to do differently?
Sure. So as you can imagine, the larger a company gets, the more complicated the business gets, the more systems they use to operate, the more teams they have geographically spread out, the more nuanced the reporting they have to provide to investors. So our best clients over the last 7 years have been some of the largest institutions. Brookfield is one example. They're a large privately traded owner and investor and asset manager. And they're diversified geographically, they're diversified across property types, they're also diversified across operating models. Some buildings they choose to manage themselves in-house. Some buildings they outsource to third-party property managers. As you can imagine, getting all of that data into one place is a very complicated and expensive and time-consuming exercise. And we've been working with them for years to help them achieve that. And the biggest value that we've seen unlocked, at least that I'm allowed to share, is a shifting of responsibilities at their organization. So all of the people, really smart, really talented, really hardworking people that were in their organization whose job it was to bring data together, since we're now doing it for them in most of their funds and most of their property types, those same people are now thinking of unique ways to use that data to build AI models and analytics and reports and dashboards. And so they've become more front-facing people to the business, to asset managers, to portfolio managers, to acquisitions directors. And that's been hugely valuable. They've been able to make decisions quicker and analyze more information, broader and deeper, faster because of working with us. The second example I would give is a lot of these large institutions, they don't directly manage buildings. So think of a pension fund or an insurance company or a sovereign wealth fund. Typically, they're sending money out to who they think are the best people in each region for the best types of real estate investments. And those people are sending information back to them on a monthly or quarterly basis, all from their own systems. So this is different charts of accounts. This is different data models. And then they have to consolidate all of that up and have one corporate layer of reporting, either out to their constituents if they're a pension fund or their investors if they're an insurance company or a bank. And making more efficient the gathering and consolidation of all of that information now means that those people who were doing that work before, now they can spend more time analyzing the market, looking for deals, looking for new partners. So this is really an efficiency play that we've seen for our largest clients like Brookfield and Ontario Teachers' Pension Fund and Starwood Capital and et cetera.
Thank you. What's the best way to avoid that Cherry AI or other similar tools could give you the inaccurate information that you could take a decision on? Because you mentioned earlier, this could happen if you're missing certain aspects of what you're feeding what you're feeding into the AI. It could actually give you the wrong steps to do, and then the whole thing could be wrong. So how do you avoid that?
So this is very dependent upon the size of the company. If you're a small operation, you're just getting up off the ground yourself. As long as you have a clear definition personally of what you're looking for, like what does property mean, what does unit mean, what does tenant mean, right? It'll be fairly easy to get moving and to leverage AI. Then it's really just about making sure every piece of information you need is actually there, right? To not have a bunch of blank holes in your spreadsheet. But as you grow, companies that are in multiple regions might have a very different definition of what a property is. Is it one building? Is it multiple buildings on one parcel? Is it a campus? Is that property have one address? Does it have multiple addresses? Does it have a particular parcel boundary? Does it have different ownership entities that sit on top? So understanding, right, how you measure property and unit and address and parcel and tenant, those definitions become extremely important because the leasing team is using one tool and they're entering information one way. The acquisitions team probably using a different tool, entering information another way. The treasury group has very specific regulatory requirements that they have to enter. That might be different. The capital raising team, different, et cetera, et cetera. So agreeing on corporate level definitions becomes important because then When all of the information comes together from those systems, they then get standardized into one model with those corporate definitions. And then, and only then, would you then be putting AI on top to look at that data and look for risk and look for opportunity and look for cost savings and look for revenue expansion. All of these things happen once you have one clean data model.
Thank you. Tell us how property investors can leverage Cherry AI to raise funding for their business.
So I previously mentioned it, but the ability to bring together market data and portfolio data and to be able to run that comparison, that is always the most important thing. Because as a personal investor, I get pitched a lot, and my question is always, how are you performing compared to funds or investors that look similar to you? If you're investing in similar types of property, how are your properties doing? If this is a new type of investment, if this is doing something that most developers have not done before, show me the underwriting. Show me your assumptions, right? AI is great at testing assumptions against current markets and running analyses out 1, 3, 5, 10 years with a variety of factors changing. The first time I encountered this was a long, long time ago, way before AI was in my head, and it was called the Monte Carlo analysis. You would run certain financial portfolios. This is back when I was at Morgan Stanley. You would take a certain portfolio with a certain mix of investments and just run scenarios. And Monte Carlo would run 1,000 different scenarios on different performance levels of different types of stocks and bonds and mutual funds and managed futures. And then get to an average and then show you the distribution of the Monte Carlo analysis. Think of AI being able to do that with potential real estate deals in minutes instead of hours. So now you can very quickly get to, is this deal that someone has sent me worth me even having a diligence call or worth me looking more into the general partner? It's like a AI is a great initial screener. And it's great because you don't just have to plug in the document and say, AI, give me an answer. You can have a real conversation with this AI. It's a chat interface. So let's say you upload the document and you say, what questions should I ask this person if I go meet with them? AI will give you a list. And if you already know some of those answers, you could say, oh, I looked in the document. Here are some of the answers. Where do you think the risks are? And it will outline the risks. It's like having an analyst in your pocket. It's fantastic.
Thank you. I have been in the space of startups looking for funding, and not personally looked for funding ever, but I have noticed that startups that look for funding, or property investors that look for funding for their companies, the thing they struggle with as well is not knowing the kind of criteria that a property investor might want to know in order to make a decision. So, how does someone prepare for property investor that might want to invest in someone's project, leveraging Cherry AI? Because if you don't know what you're looking for, it's like very hard to actually find it. So, how does someone know what kind of data they will need to show to a potential investor, aside from everything you mentioned already?
So my first piece of advice is do not adjust your reports or your diligence to attract a particular investor. Like don't fit their box. Make sure your box stands up on its own fundamentally and will outperform. And investors will not, it's not okay to say investors will come to you. That's not how it works. But if you keep a very, very narrow and accurate strategy and investment thesis, and you advertise that thesis, you'll be able to filter out investors who will not be a good fit, and you'll be able to focus on investors who are a good fit. And so deliver that presentation to an AI in practice first. Say, here's my deal, or here's the types of deals I'm going to be looking for. I'd like to attract capital. What would investors need to know? And have that conversation back and forth with AI. And what typically will happen is questions will be asked you definitely know the answer to. Questions will then be asked you don't know the answer to, but you can go research it and figure it out. And then there are some questions that would be asked that it doesn't matter if you have all the money and all the time in the world, you won't be able to answer them because it just depends. And so you need to be prepared when meeting with a property investor for all of the answers you know, all of the answers you can find out quickly and get back to them, and all of the answers that are really not applicable to the deal. And knowing why something is not applicable is sometimes almost as powerful as having an answer to a question, because then property investors will trust that you've really thought deeply about a potential strategy of investment.
Thank you. What else would you like property investors to know about maximizing investment returns and driving portfolio growth with AI?
There's just so much opportunity out there right now across property types, across geographies. And sometimes when there's so much opportunity and AI is moving so quickly, people might feel rushed that they just have to act, that sitting on the sidelines is the problem. And I would just encourage people to go back to finance and investing 101, right? It's better to measure twice and just cut once. You just gotta wait for the right deal. Most of the profit that is made in a real estate deal or other investment in general is usually made on the buy, not on the sell, because you're not in full control of what the market's going to be many years from now when you might want to sell. But you're in full control of your own dollars and when you need to deploy the capital. So using AI and data in general to find the right deals at the right time, patience and thoroughness in your diligence is what matters the most.
Thank you. What are the worst situations you've seen occur as a result of people perhaps not using Cherry AI in order to get a bigger data around property investing before actually doing it?
Yeah, again, I think people sometimes think that time kills deals, and so they just cut corners. Or they put some assumptions aside that they don't bother them. They brush aside risk, or they get overly optimistic about the types of rents that they will be able to charge when they own a building versus the current ownership group. If you're buying a building and you're not really changing it in a material way, why do you think that just because you own it, you're now going to be able to charge a lot more money than the previous ownership group? Also, when you're thinking about, refurbishing a property, remodeling a property, more than likely what it's going to cost to do it is going to be more than what you anticipate. There will always be surprises when you go fix a property. So just be prepared for the surprises. Model out what could go wrong. What happens when you find something in the walls that now means, oh, I need completely new electrical equipment, or I need to replace HVAC, or oh, I thought the roof was totally okay, but now that we're in this thing, there's extra roof work needed. Or we didn't know because we didn't have access to tenant surveys that the landscaping needs to be redone, or we want to redo the clubhouse. Just be thinking about all of the investments you're going to have to do once you're an owner before, there's a lot of underwriting assumptions before you buy the building. And then there's all the assumptions that happen after you own the building. Try to move that forward to before you buy and know as much as you can.
Thank you. Tell us about other problems that may occur for people that don't use Cherry AI as a tool for property investing.
Yeah, so I think, look, Cherry's not for everyone. We are what we think is the market leader, and we have a ton of clients that agree with us. But bringing together a bunch of different data from a bunch of different places only works when your portfolio is at a certain size. If you're in multifamily, that's probably 2,500 units. If you're on the commercial side, that's probably around 1 million square feet. Or if you're in Europe, about 100,000 square meters. That's when the economics start to make sense. So if you're a smaller investor or a smaller business that's not quite at that level, and you're thinking to yourself, how do I bring information together? And it just the first thing to do is just to make sure wherever you're storing data, make sure it's thorough. If you're building spreadsheets, totally fine. right? Just make sure that you don't have a lot of blanks or unknowns in your data. It can be often a thankless and boring task to go track down what seems like a minute detail for a deal. Get the answer. That's the most important thing. And leverage AI before you leverage search. So I occasionally use Google search, but not really. I start with AI now. It's crazy what happens when you can just shave 5 to 10 minutes off a handful of tasks each and every day. What would you do with that extra 2 hours? Right? Think about that as a personal investor, especially if you're on the small side.
Thank you. Let's say a company that's currently managing 300 million worth of property management. What can they benefit from? Because I would think they already have, let's say, really great reporting, and they're already very profitable. And so, how would Cherry AI help a company that's already doing really, really well?
So first I would think about, it sounds like a big number, 300 million in assets under management, but let's break down the model. If you're managing that portfolio, you're likely getting some sort of management fee. Let's just, to make it easy, let's call it 1%. So you're earning $3 million in fees to manage that portfolio. You have a handful of people that are managing the portfolio. There's a cost there. There might be office space where the team is meeting. There's technology equipment that they're using, computers, and there's the travel budget. There's the entertainment budget. All of a sudden, that the net profit continues to go down, and then eventually you have to get to, well, what are we spending on data analysis and IT? And usually, it's going to be, 5% of that number. So 5% of 3 million, that's $150,000. So 300 million sounds like a big number of portfolio management, but you really probably only have about $150,000 that you're going to spend on data and technology. So what is the best use of that money? In my opinion, right, it is having a very, very robust set of knowledge infrastructure that undergirds everything else you do. So if you're a US investor, we have something called Cherry Foundation. That's the best place to start. It has all of the tax assessor data, plus parcel boundaries, plus the unmasking of owners of buildings. It's all in one little model. And I think today we're charging $36,000 for it. That's a great place to start because it gives you a baseline of information of bringing together all those publicly available sources, plus a couple private ones. And then it allows you to integrate anything else to it. So most property managers that have 300 million under management, they've figured out how to automate a lot of tasks in their own systems, but they might not have pulled together a knowledge graph or a market source that they could compare that to. That's like where I would start. Secondly, I would think about where are the best places to have people versus where technology solves the problem. I mentioned the doorman example. Sometimes that's just the best use of capital, is to have a person that's there to greet you as you walk in, whether you're a guest, whether you're a tenant, whether you're a vendor, whether you're a partner. Having a person there accomplishes a lot. But all of the folks who sit behind the scenes, do they need to be on the property? Can they be centralized? Are they enjoying their work, or are some of these tasks very boring and monotonous? And if you automated those tasks and then gave them more fulfilling work to do, would they stay at your company longer? So you wouldn't have to go hire and retrain other people. Always be thinking about the cost of deploying tech and the opportunity of using tech.
Thank you. Tell us about, on a personal level, what should a property investor consider integrating into his routine or habits so he can become an awakened titan? What I mean by that is to kind of awaken to their full potential power and awaken in the same way that you have, where you started out as an investment banker and now you are doing, you're the global head of alliances and corporate development for Cherry AI. Tell us about what someone could put in place to awaken to their full power. Is it the fact that you run Iron Man?
I've never really been a morning person. It's been something that It's a skill I've had to acquire. It's not something I was naturally born to, but starting my day early has been probably the best muscle I've been able to build, right? Which is not a muscle in and of itself. So I guess it's a brain muscle. It's just the idea that the earlier you actually start your day, whether that's going to the gym, whether that's stretching, whether that's making meals for your kids, whether that's starting work early, whatever, the earlier you start your day, the better off you're going to be. Because typically, if you're early to rise and you're a little bit earlier to bed, you have a more manageable energy cycle. I love going out and spending time with clients and partners and friends, but like every time I do that, like the next day, the first half of the day is shot, and I'm so unproductive. Which sometimes it's worth doing, right? For special occasions. But most of the time, starting early has been the main secret, because I just find myself with a lot more energy and a lot more productivity. And that way, when life gives you surprises, a sick kid home from school, or a friend or family member needing some help, it's easy for you to handle that because you've already been getting up and going throughout the day. The second piece of advice, of course, you mentioned it. I do a lot of triathlons. Just being physically active, moving around. We're so surrounded by screens these days that you find yourself sitting a lot more, looking into devices. And the more you can move around, you'll be surprised at how much not having a screen and just letting your mind wander, even if it's just 5 minutes at a time, the types of ideas you can uncover and the type of collaboration you can have with other people. So start early, move around, are the two best options I can give. And that's regardless of whatever personality type you are, or how old you are, or where you live. Then my last piece of advice is usually for people of different personality types. If you are naturally an extrovert, if you like being around people, make sure that you're in a job that rewards that type of work. There's an office for you to go to, right? There are social events run by the company. You're in a role that incentivizes you to be public and friendly and interact with people, because that's your strength. And the opposite is also true. If you find yourself as a major introvert and you struggle in public situations, make sure that the role, whatever job you take, allows you a lot more autonomy and freedom and control over when you need to interact with big groups of people, so that when you're working, you can focus on delivering a bunch of value. And the world needs both, right? We need introverts and extroverts. Just make sure you're picking a role that plays to your strengths.
Thank you. Tell us about how did you awaken to the Titan within in terms of like, was there any catalytic moment that kind of got you there and saying, okay, I want to help entrepreneurs maximize property value and investment returns? Or was there a personal situation that kind of said, oh, I want this for my children? Or what was that catalytic moment that kind of got you to be like, okay, I want to play to win life like at a really big level?
Yeah, look, I've always been a fairly ambitious person, but you don't really realize what your true goals in life are until you have some sort of life event. You get married, you have a child, you lose a family member to disease, something that like shifts your thinking. For me, it was getting pregnant with our first daughter. I have three daughters. Oldest is about to turn 8, and when she was born in 2018, everything shifted, right? When I was at Morgan Stanley, I worked really hard, long hours, but didn't have to travel much. After I got my MBA, I went into consulting, and it's probably a little different now after COVID, but before COVID, the life was you're on an airplane basically every week. And that is a exciting and rewarding lifestyle when you don't have a family. And when we got pregnant, and I looked at a lot of the senior leaders at the firm who were still traveling, really, and working weekends and long hours and all that. Some of them are still amazing family people, and they have a thriving marriages and relationships with their kids. But a lot of them were divorced. And I thought to myself, I don't want that to happen to me. I need to be more available. When my kids need me, when my wife needs me, when my family needs me, I need to be around for holidays and other events. So what, but I love the excitement and sometimes the chaos of traveling for work. So what was the career path that would allow me to kind of do both? And that life was being at a startup. Like, you work long hours, but when you're at the executive level, you have a little more control of your schedule. So I said, I rise early. Usually my day starts between 5 and 5:30, and it ends around 10 or 10:30. But I'm usually only working about 10 hours a day in that window, right? I'm not usually working more than 50 to 60 hours a week anymore. But my hours are very erratic. Sometimes I'll have meetings with our European clients at 5 in the morning. Sometimes I might have calls with some of our Asian partners at 9 p.m. But I'm always finding time in the middle, breaks to, help kids at school or with an art project or catch up with friends socially. I definitely make time to, for myself and for my friends and for my family. It's really, really important to have that balance. And I didn't really fully appreciate the need for that until we had our first child.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs and property investors can connect with you.
So the best place to find me is on LinkedIn. I don't really use a lot of social media for the reasons I mentioned before, but I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. So just find me, Kevin Stoffman, on LinkedIn.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.